From the horse capital of the world, the great city of Lexington, Kentucky, welcome to Red Barn Radio. Wherever in the world you're listening, join us as we celebrate the music of Kentucky. Tonight, Red Barn Radio presents an evening with Liberty Road, coming up on Red Barn Radio.
Hello, everybody. How do you do? We're here to sing and play for you.
This 9-pound hammer is a little too heavy, honey, for my size. Honey, for my size.
Red Barn Radio is brought to you with the financial support of Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Planning to visit Lexington or just looking for more information, Visit Lex is on the web at visitlex.com. We're more than just bluegrass. Lex Arts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. The Paducah Visitors Bureau, Paducah, Kentucky, a UNESCO creative city of crafts and folk art, connects you to your creativity. Visit online at paducah.travel.
Now when I die, you can make my tombstone out of number 9 coal, out of number 9 coal. It's a little too heavy, honey, for my size, honey, for my size. Tar along, buddy,
don't you roll so slow.
How can I roll?
How can I roll when the wheels won't go?
How can I roll?
How can I roll when the wheels won't go?
Good evening, one and all. Welcome to Red Barn Radio. My name is Brad Becker, and I am the associate producer and host of Red Barn Radio, here to welcome you to our 527th live performance. Tonight, Red Barn Radio welcomes Liberty Road, a fine four-piece ensemble based right here in the great city of Lexington. Liberty Road interprets well-known traditional to progressive bluegrass tunes and can also call up a good serving of newgrass music. Each one of the four musicians is a fine singer as well, and we are so pleased to welcome in their very first Red Barn Radio appearance, at least as a group, our featured artist, Liberty Road.
Shoes, yeah. Yes, these low-down blues got me wearing out the soles of my shoes. My baby left me, oh, he left me with the low-down blues.
rocky, but it won't be rocky long. Yeah, the road is rocky, but it won't be rocky long. Another woman's got my man and gone. Come on, Wesley.
He's on his way now, bringing a parachute. Whoa,
the road is rocky, but it won't be rocky long. Now the road is rocky, but it won't be rocky long. Another woman got the man and gone.
Welcome, one and all. It's great to have you here with us on Red Barn Radio. Our guest this evening is Liberty Road. They are a four-piece acoustic ensemble. And I say you're from Lexington, but I know you're from all, you know, a lot of different places.
Monterey.
Okay, Monterey, for instance, says Wes.
I grew up in the South. South Chicago, actually.
South Chicago, good night for you. So what in the world would you be doing here playing banjo tonight when the Chicago Red Sox could make history this evening?
You kicked him out of Chicago for playing the banjo.
I just got entranced by the sound of the banjo when I was about 11 or 12 years old. I heard Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs and the Foggy Mountain Boys, and as we like to say, it just shucked my corn forever. You know?
I'm from here in Lexington. I play the mandolin.
And this is Noah Adler. All right.
Hi, Brad. Good to see you.
Hi, nice to see you too,
Not from Monterey, which is where a great number of hippies are from.
You're from Monterey?
No.
Okay.
I wish.
Okay.
But no, I actually was born in Cincinnati, but I've been here for more than 20 years. So Lexington is home. And I, during the day, I'm a counselor.
And of course, I'm Wesley Atha. You know, this music thing has been in a part of my life for a long, long time. Don't really usually introduce myself this way, but my brother is John Atha, so I'm John's brother. Wow.
Oh, all right.
So Wesley Atha, and I'm in information technology. I've been doing that for several years, like 30 years, and since 1980. So that's my job outside of the music industry.
And
I'm Tom Adler.
Hi, Tom.
And this is my five-string banjo. And I said I came from Chicago, but I've had a checkered career. I was trained in a PhD program at Indiana University as a folklorist, and originally came to Lexington to teach folklore at the University of Kentucky many years ago. And I've done a lot of other things since then, too. I was briefly the executive director of the International Bluegrass Music Museum in Owensboro. And I also put some of my computer knowledge to work helping to support the Department of Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine at UK. But now I'm retired from all of that. All I have to do now is play the banjo.
I remember when I made you cry. Ages and ages ago. I'll never blame you for our last goodbye. Ages and ages ago. Someone told me when you walked away that time would make me miss you so. And though it happened only yesterday, it seems like ages and ages ago. Someone me when you walked away. That time would make me miss you so. And though it happened only yesterday, it seems like ages and ages ago. It seems like ages and ages ago.
Tom, two times our lives have crossed. Once, you were the first person I ever played music with who played the banjo. I was playing with a band on Red Barn Radio, and you were the banjo player. And the second time I saw you in scrubs, I was in the hospital getting a back surgery, and I saw you walk by in scrubs. And I said, yeah, I think I know that guy. I think it's that Bill Monroe guy. So I'd wondered, yeah, how you spent time in the hospital, and now I know.
Yeah, the Bill Monroe connection is there, too, because I spent a long time working, even when I was no longer teaching folklore, I was... always involved in trying to work on oral history and folklore and the stories behind bluegrass music and musicians. I ended up writing a book about a place called Bean Blossom in Indiana, which was the site of a music park for many, many years that Bill Monroe owned, and he started his festival there in 1967. It's still going today as the oldest continuously run annual bluegrass festival in the world.
How was it that you happened to have an opportunity to write a book about Bill Monroe, especially it seems like the University of Illinois, is it Champaign?
They published it.
Because lots of amazing books about Americana music, American music, come out of there.
That's right. They have a series called Music in American Life. Actually, the first book in the series was called Only a Minor, was written by a mentor of mine, Archie Green. There was also a graduate student named Neil Rosenberg who wrote what some bluegrass people call the Bible of bluegrass. It's a history of bluegrass music. So I had some great examples and good people to work with, and when I came to work on my own book, The Story of This Historic Music Park, I didn't even ask any other press if they were interested. I went strictly to the University of Illinois to the Music in American Life series.
Who knows what tomorrow may bring? Could be most anything, a peaceful calm, atomic bomb. Who knows what tomorrow may bring? Who knows what tomorrow may bring? This could be the last words that I sing. Now say your prayers to the man upstairs. Meantime, let's just swing. Now I don't mean to fiddle while Rome burns. No, I just mean forget your small concerns. Oh, let's swing.
Let's swing.
Let's swing.
Let's swing.
Let's swing. 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 Let's swing,
let's swing,
let's swing,
let's swing.
Who knows what tomorrow may bring?
Let's swing.
Let's swing.
Let's swing.
Who knows what tomorrow may bring?
Let's swing. Who knows what tomorrow may bring? Who knows what tomorrow may bring?
Is this book that you mentioned, The Bible of Bluegrass, is it a scholarly tome, or is it something that someone could read on the beach?
Well, it's very readable, but yes, it is scholarly. Neil Rosenberg, who wrote that, it's called Bluegrass, A History, and Neil is probably the foremost scholar in the world of bluegrass music. He's written many articles and a lot of liner notes for records and things, but he's probably best known for that one publication. And he actually, in the last couple of years, also released the ultimate discography of Bill Monroe's life's work. All the records that Bill ever produced and recorded on are in there session by session with a lot of notes about the details of them. So you can learn things like the song that we did earlier, Rocky Road Blues, came from Bill Monroe's very first session for Columbia Records. And that actually happened, he recorded that before he had Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs in his band. His banjo player then was a fellow from Kentucky named David Aikman, or String Bean, as everyone knew him later. That was an early Bill Monroe number, but one that he kept doing all his life long.
We're going to do an instrumental number now called Red-Haired Boy. This is quite an old Irish tune, and we're real pleased that Katie's going to join in with us on this one.
Tom, were the first bluegrass recordings actually made?
If you ask Bill himself, he would have said as soon as he, you know, started recording. He recorded music with his brother Charlie on just mandolin and guitar in the 1930s. In the mid-1940s, when he got on the Grand Ole Opry, he put together a band that, as I say, had a banjo player in it, String Bean. And he also had an accordion player, a woman who was the wife of his main fiddle player, who played accordion. So it was a different sound than what we think of as bluegrass. But it wasn't until 1946 when the so-called original bluegrass band came together. That had Bill Monroe on the mandolin and Earl Scruggs on the banjo, Lester Flatt singing lead and playing guitar, a guy named Howard Watts, who went by the stage name of Cedric Rainwater, and Chubby Wise played the fiddle. And a lot of people today say that that 1946 band was really the start of what we think of as bluegrass today.
That then defined the sound, or sort of codified the sound
of
bluegrass, mm-hmm. and the accordion would be forever banished from the genre?
Well, it actually, it was during the war when Sally Ann Forrester, her name was Willeen, but she went by the stage name of Sally Ann, which is the title of an old fiddle tune. She was in the band then because her husband, Howdy Forrester, had been a fiddler with Bill Monroe. He was drafted and went off to the war, so Sally Ann stepped in. It wasn't just a favor. She was a really good musician, and Bill was sympathetic to the sound of the accordion. His mother had played accordion, and so he liked that sound a little bit, but it wasn't quite what he was looking for. But when Lester and Earl got in the band and Chubby Wise on the fiddle, that really hit the sound that Bill knew and his audiences knew right away. That was what they got excited about and wanted to hear more of.
Were there ever any electric instruments in early bluegrass music? I mean, before, during the accordion period of bluegrass?
Nope. No electric instruments. It's always been acoustic. And in fact, there's a funny story about Bill Monroe. He was playing one time backstage at the Opry in the dressing rooms there, and a fellow came in the dressing rooms, there were a lot of instruments sitting around. A drummer came in and started playing drums with it, and Bill just stopped in the middle and said, "There's no drums. This here is acoustic music." And the drummer said, "Well, these are acoustic. I'm not plugged in." Bill said, "Yeah, but them sticks ain't." So it was pretty much acoustic music until much later, when some groups like the Osborne Brothers of Kentucky began to plug in their instruments in order to play at greater volume, to play for really large crowds and play on country music package shows, where they, if Dottie West or Buck Owens or people like that were on the show before and after them, they had to have more volume or they simply would be lost. The sound would be too tiny and thin. You couldn't do it with just microphones. So electric instruments began to come along later.
Back in those hills, those cold rolling hills, where North Carolina runs close to the stars, there's living a lady, she's shining so high, they call her the Carolina Star. She works at the factory from Monday to Friday, she's raising three daughters alone. Their daddy's away, he's chasing a dream, and waiting for the day when he comes home. Oh, Carolina, even stars get lonesome now and then. Amen. Oh, Carolina, don't you worry, he'll be coming home again. Songs down in Nashville, he's picking for tips in a bar. He's broken all alone, but he ain't ready to come home. Well, he wants to be a bluegrass picking star. Oh, Carolina, even stars get lonesome now and then. Oh, Carolina, don't you worry, he'll be coming home. She wakes up just thinking of him. She remembers him beside her in the night. Way out across those hills, that old moon's setting in, and those Carolina stars are shining bright. Oh, Carolina, even
tell us a little bit more about what kind of a guy he was? He's, you know, considered the father of bluegrass music. Is he actually fatherly, or?
He was a hard man to deal with in a lot of ways. He, you know, he was interviewed many, many times by reporters, and if he didn't like anything about the reporters, he just wouldn't answer. He was famous for having a thousand-yard stare. You know, someone would ask him a question, he'd just look in another direction and not answer them at all. He could be very warm and friendly, but was that way mostly with people he knew. He wasn't as comfortable with strangers. Some people said that went back to when he was a child. He had crossed eyes and was really very shy and afraid when people came to his father's farm in Rosine, Kentucky. He would run and hide. He was just scared of strangers. But he got over that and became, you know, quite the performer eventually. On a personal level, though, he could be a tough guy to deal with.
Did he have successful marriages or children?
He had several children, a daughter who sang, and his son James Monroe sang and sang with him for a while. Bill was married several times, but he also had a lot of girlfriends along the way, so the marriages didn't tend to last too long. He was a man of the world.
I climbed the Redwood Hill. It was on for a while. She told me of her love for the children, her trust, and of the great concern for the likes of you and me and her. Crying, oh, she was. She did speak these tender words. Not change for any man. I tried to comfort her, but she would not be still. And how the rain did fall as I found my way back down the Redwood Hill. Change for any man. I tried to comfort her, but she would not be still. And how the rain did fall as I found my way back down the Redwood Hill. No, I'll not forget the day when Mother Nature cried on Redwood Hill.
Coming up, more Red Barn Radio with Liberty Road. Recorded live from the Performance Hall at Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky. We're back with Liberty Road after this break. This is Red Barn Radio.
I change for any man. I tried to comfort her,